God bless you guys as you grab a seat. We'll say good morning to everybody that's here. It's good to see some faces that we haven't seen in a while. And I want to say good morning to all those that are watching via Facebook. So here we are this weekend. Yesterday was the first day of spring. Yeah, I don't know about you. I'm done with winter. I'm ready for spring. So bring on the sunshine and warmer temperatures. Today we're going to, as you can see, we're going to focus on Passover. Although on our calendar, Passover is not till next weekend. But if you were, you may not be paying attention to that. I don't know if you really pay attention. But if you were to look on, you know, the calendars that we have, you'd look and you'd see that on Saturday at sundown is when Passover begins. This is next Saturday. But then the very next day, Sunday, is Palm Sunday, right? So it's one of those kind of things that, you know, maybe if you're not familiar with the order of things, you might, so what? But if you are familiar with the order of things, you might be saying, well, how on earth can Passover occur before Palm Sunday? Right? So maybe if you haven't worried about that, you'll go home and worry about that now, or you'll take a look. I want you to think on those things because it is important. And sometimes when people start to pay attention to those things, it just kind of creates some confusion because they're like, okay, well, wait a minute. When is this supposed to happen? When is that supposed to happen? So here's what I want to talk about, not the whole time, but just starting off. It's all about calendars, 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 right? There's all kinds of calendars that come into play as to what's going on right now and why we have this differences and why things seem to be thrown out of order. Somebody actually asked me this morning, referring to it, and they were like, you know, how often does the calendar sync up so these things fall in the order? And actually, very rarely. If you pay attention to it often, it's not. It's out of sync. Here's what we have. You and I have the Gregorian calendar, right? The Gregorian calendar, that's what you and I operate from. That was, put into place by Pope Gregory, and that was in the late 1500s, okay? So if you really think about this, you know, that's not a long time, speaking of world history, but late 1500s when the Gregorian calendar came into play. And in fact, in the UK and the colonies, which would become the United States of America, the Gregorian calendar was not even adopted until 1752. The present calendar that you and I just assume has always existed is less than 300 years old. And again, 300 years is a long time when we're thinking about our lifespan, but in the course of history, 300 years is very minor, very small. Now, that was preceded by a calendar that was around much longer than that, and it was a calendar known as the Julian calendar, if you're familiar. And you might be familiar with the guy, Julius Caesar. And so the Julian calendar was put into place in 45-46 BC and remained in place as the dominant calendar until the late 1500s. That's a long time. So that was the calendar that went on. But here's the interesting thing. The Jewish calendar operated in spite of those. The Jewish calendar right to this moment is the oldest consecutively without break used calendar ever. So 2021 is what we call this year, right? But in the Jewish calendar, this is 5781, going into 5782. This calendar, the Jewish calendar, has been in play the entire time. Now, Jewish calendar has some interesting things, and that's why you and I operate off a Gregorian calendar, and these feasts or festivals, things that are talked about in the Bible, are based on the Jewish calendar, and they're not lining up all the time, right? So the Jewish calendar, there's two calendars that are actually operating within the same one, just to make it even clearer. So you have two New Years, right? So you have, basically you have, and it's not unlike ours, but we don't realize it. In the Jewish calendar, you have a civil year and you have a sacred year, right? Or we might use the term in the Christian church, we might use the term ecclesiastical year, right? So like in the church or in the Gregorian calendar, we all have that calendar that we operate, starts with January 1, right? It's New Year's Day, and we go through all our holidays. But then there's also kind of the church calendar, and the first season in the Christian church is Advent, right? We've got the Advent and Christmas, and on the backside of Christmas, right? Then we have like Lent, you know, and then we have Easter season with the Holy Week being like the big central thing of the Gregorian calendar or the ecclesiastical calendar like we operate in. So with the Jewish calendar, there's a civil and a sacred New Year, right? So the civil New Year is more around the time Rosh Hashanah, and then you have the sacred New Year, which is around was Passover. So just to make it kind of clearer, the Jewish calendar is operating off of two things. So it's kind of years are done based on the solar years, but lunar months, right? That's kind of how things, you may not have thought about any of this, and after I get done saying it, you may never think about it again, but I'm just trying to give you a little perspective why things don't line up and how we can have Passover actually occurring before Palm Sunday, because they are operating off of two different calendars, right, and two different things that are operating. Now, here's the other thing. I'm just going to throw this in, is that some of the names on the Jewish calendar changed, and that was due to the Babylonian exile. So when we have post-Ezra Nehemiah, we have some different names. And so a month that's going to be important today as we talk about, a month that was referred to as Abib is now known as Nisan. That's where we're at right now, right? We're in that time when you're looking at the Jewish calendar. And even before all of that, there was a Canaanite calendar that predated all of them, right? So there's lots of different calendars that have been in operation, which creates different timing. And so that's how we can have something that doesn't seem in place. Now, why am I talking about Passover this week instead of next week? Because it occurs next Saturday night. Well, I wanted to kind of, for us, I wanted to keep the chronological narrative in place from Palm Sunday through Good Friday into Easter Sunday. But Passover is way too significant to not be spoken of. And I didn't want it getting lost in the sauce of trying about talking the other things. So I wanted to give it the time that it needs to have. And so we're going to be spending today taking a look at this. Now, some people think about Passover may not be something that you celebrate. I would encourage you to celebrate it. I would encourage you to consider celebrating it. You might go, well, I'm not Jewish. Well, I'll get to that in a moment. Passover is considered by many just to be the central story of the Jewish faith, right, and of the Old Testament. But I hope that we see, that we understand that Passover is central to our faith and is central to the Word of God in its entirety. It plays a huge role. And so I hope maybe if you haven't in the past, put weight behind it, I hope you will begin to. And think about how important it can be. So we're going to jump into some Old Testament passages. Take a look at where some of the direction is given. But I want you to see a few things maybe that you haven't seen before. Leviticus chapter 23. And that's kind of where God's calendar. I started off talking about all these calendars, right? Gregorian calendar, Julian calendar, Jewish calendar, right? There's all these different calendars. But probably the most important calendar, I think, is God's calendar. And God has a calendar, and God has stated such in His Word. And so it really, I think we need to pay attention to His calendar. There's a lot of things, a richness in our faith when we understand His calendar. So Leviticus chapter 23, verses 1 through 8, says this, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Give the following instructions to the people of Israel.'" Now, Moses is giving these instructions to the people of Israel at the command of the Lord. But these instructions, I hope you can see, that aren't just for the Israelites. All right? "These are the Lord's appointed festivals." Now, whose appointed festivals? Right. It didn't say these are the Jewish festivals. It says these are the Lord's festivals. Right? And that's one of those capital L-O-R-D things going on there. Right? These are the Lord's appointed festivals which are to proclaim, you are to proclaim as official days for holy assembly. And these things, the appointed festivals, feasts, it also literally would say appointed times. These are appointed times. These are dates on the calendar that God has put in place. Right? These are important. Verse 3 says this, you have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath, or is known as Shabbat, right? It is a Sabbath, a day of complete rest, an official day for holy assembly. It is the Lord's Sabbath. Whose Sabbath? Right? So again, this is God's calendar. These are God's festivals. This is God's Sabbath he's referring to, right? And sometimes we go, oh, well, that doesn't apply to us. Well, I don't know. Are you in relationship with God? I mean, it does. It's the Lord's Sabbath day, and it must be observed wherever you live. Verse 4, in addition to the Sabbath, these are the Lord's appointed festivals. Again, these appointed times. The official days for holy assembly that are to be celebrated at their proper times each year. Verse 5, the Lord's Passover. Whose Passover? Right? You see a pattern that's going on here. This is God's calendar, God's festival, God's feast, God's appointed times, God's Sabbath, God's Passover. The Lord's Passover begins at sundown on the 14th day of the first month. Now, that first month, that's why I mentioned earlier when I was talking about the calendar, it used to be called referred to as Abib, now it's Nisan. So on the 14th day of Nisan, this is the day for the Lord's Passover. On the next day, verse 6, on the next day, the 15th day of the month, or Nisan 15, you must begin celebrating the festival of unleavened bread. This festival to the Lord continues for 7 days, and during that time, the bread you eat must be made without yeast, unleavened, right? On the first day of the festival, which would be the first day of the festival? Nisan 15, right? Nisan 15 is the first day of the festival. On the next day, the 15th day, on the first day, verse 7 of the festival, all the people must stop their ordinary work and observe an official day for holy assembly. For 7 days, you must present special gifts to the Lord. On the seventh day, the people must stop again all their ordinary work to observe an official day for holy assembly. So kind of what's going on here, and I know this is a lot of details and dates, and you're like, well, I don't know if this really matters, but this is important, right? So Nisan 14 is when the Lord's Passover, this is when Passover is observed, and the very next day, Nisan 15, is the beginning of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And that first day of the festival and the seventh day of the festival are to be considered, they're considered like Shabbat. They're also Sabbath, but not exactly the same. And it just gives you, the language here just gives you a little difference. It says, hey, on Shabbat or on the Sabbath, you know, it's a day of complete rest. Where it's saying the first day of the festival, the seventh day of the festival, doesn't say complete rest, but it says no ordinary work. So it's still a day to be held in high esteem, but it's not at exactly the same. That will come into play if you begin to debate Holy Week, right? Because people have these, you know, what day was Jesus crucified on? When was it, a Wednesday crucifixion, or was it a, you know, because we have Good Friday, and see, our calendars are all over the place, and we get confused on what day all this stuff happened, and then we do mental gymnastics trying to make it all work, right? When it really works really well if we understand the other calendar, okay, and not operating from our own. So let's jump back. I want to jump back into Exodus because this is where it originates from. Leviticus is just giving the instructions saying, hey, this is how it's supposed to go down. This is when it's supposed to be celebrated. This is when it's going on as far as the festival. But let's go back to where this all, the origin of this in Exodus chapter 12. You guys are familiar with this story. Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. While the Israelites were still in the land of Egypt, the Lord gave the following instructions to Moses and Aaron. From now on, this month this month was the month of Abib, will be the first month of the year for you. And now here's something that's interesting. Did you know? I don't know if you knew this. I didn't know this. I don't know that I somehow I missed this in history class. You know, New Year's Day for us is January 1. Do you know that January 1 wasn't always New Year's Day? Did you know for a long, long, long time, April 1 was New Year's Day? April 1st was considered New Year's Day for a long time. No, that's the truth, though. All right, so anyway, from now on, this month will be the first month of the year for you. Verse 3, announce to the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, okay, we've got something else significant happening. On the 10th day of this month, each family, so the 10th of Nisan, that's what it is now, right? The 10th of Nisan is you must choose a lamb or a young goat for a sacrifice. Okay, so, and I know all of this is like, 14 Nisan is Passover. But prior to that, Nisan 10 is the day that they must pick the lamb. It's Lamb Selection Day. When they pick the lamb that will be the perfect sacrifice. And then 14 Nisan, that lamb will be sacrificed. This is all going to come full circle. Verses 5 through 8. The animal you select must be a one-year-old male, either a sheep or a goat, with no defects. Has to be perfect. Take special care of this chosen animal until the evening of the 14th day of this first month, until 14 Nisan. Then the whole assembly of the community of Israel must slaughter their lamb or young goat at twilight. They are to take some of the blood and smear it on the sides and the top of the door frames of the houses where they eat the animal. That same night, they must roast the meat over a fire and eat it along with bitter salad greens and bread made without yeast, unleavened bread. So this is the original Passover feast, right? Original Passover feast, just roasted meat, bitter herbs, unleavened bread. It's supposed to be a perfect, spotless lamb that is to be the sacrifice, selected on Nisan 10, and on Nisan 14 it is slaughtered. And then the blood is smeared on the door, right? This is what they're supposed to happen. And then they're supposed to eat the dinner. Continues verse 11. These are your instructions for eating this meal. Be fully dressed, wear your sandals, and carry your walking stick in your hand. Eat the meal with urgency, for this is the Lord's Passover. On that night, I will pass through the land of Egypt and strike down every firstborn son and firstborn male animal in the land of Egypt. I will execute judgment against all the gods of Egypt, for I am the Lord. And I want to just pause right there for a second because I don't know that we fully realize this. You know, we've all seen the movie, right? Most everybody has seen the movie, right? Ten Commandments, right? Or, you know, maybe later on you saw the cartoon that came out, you know. But here's the thing. I don't know that we fully appreciate. Do you realize, like that statement just made, that he will execute judgment against all the gods? Do you realize that all of the plagues, each plague was a specific god being taken out? Every single plague is associated directly with one of the gods of Egypt. And every one of them, one by one, God was saying, oh, this is who you worship? Check this out. And every plague took down a god one at a time. That's what he was doing. He was executing judgment on all the gods. And he was showing the Israelites as well as the Egyptians that he alone is God. And so he was executing that judgment. So verse 13, but the blood on your doorposts will serve as a sign. marking the houses where you are staying. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. This is its origin. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. This plague of death will not touch you when I strike the land of Egypt. See, the final God, if you remember, that final plague was going to be the death of all the firstborn right in the land, like it says. That final God, Amun-Ra, was the God of life. And God was going to show, I'll take life unless the blood. And if I see the blood of the perfect lamb sacrificed, then I will pass over you, preserving life. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. This plague of death will not touch you when I strike the land of Egypt. Verse 14, this is a day to remember. Each year, from generation to generation, you must celebrate it as a special festival to the Lord. This is a law for a few years. Doesn't say that. This is a law for Old Testament times. Doesn't say that either. This is a law for all time. So we might want to be thinking about it. Might want to consider it. Right? Passover, but here's the beautiful thing. Passover not only commemorates this incredible event. I mean, this is a big event, right? I mean, can you imagine? If you ever just tried to pause for a second and we read this stuff, and I know you saw the movie, but the movie, they always kind of clean up things up or make it, you know, it's almost like you don't get the nitty-gritty of it. I mean, think about it. The large number of people we're talking about, the Israelites that were living there. Right? I mean, I think it's estimated when you start counting women and children, millions. And did you know that there were some Egyptians, according to Scripture, there were some Egyptians that also honored God and participated in this? You know how many lambs that is being slaughtered? You know how much blood that is? I mean, to stop and pause and think about that. Now, that evening had to be amazing because, I mean, you know how when your neighbor's having a barbecue? Man, now everybody's having a barbecue in the neighborhood. Man, that had to smell pretty good. That's good because I don't know about if you know, but blood doesn't smell very good. The enormity of this. This was a massive, major event, a day to remember. The cries that had to be going out the next morning of all of the households that had lost the firstborn son, even to Pharaoh's home. Passover not only commemorates God delivering his people from the slavery of Egypt, but here's the beautiful thing. Passover points. It points directly to the death of Jesus, the perfect sacrifice, our Passover lamb. I want to read a couple scriptures. These aren't going to be on the screen, but because it's not just like some crazy idea I'm coming up with. I'm not that smart. Right? John, I just want to read it. John 1:29. So John 1:29. So this is John the Baptist, right? Not the guy who wrote the book. I'm just saying he's in the story. John the Baptist, right? Okay. And John the Baptist was there. He's baptizing. And it says, the next day, John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him. And this is what John the Baptist says. He says, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. All right? Another one. 1 Corinthians 5:7. Now the Apostle Paul. He's talking about 6 and 7. He goes on, you know, you're boasting about this is terrible. He's getting on the Corinthians because they were kind of whacked out church. Don't you realize that the sin is a little like yeast that spreads to the whole batch of dough? And then verse 7, he says, get rid of the old yeast by removing this wicked person from among you. So he's referring to yeast as sin, this, right, uncleanness. He said, then you will be like a fresh batch of dough made without yeast, which is what you really are. And then he says this final phrase in this verse 7. Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed for us. So now you got not only John the Baptist saying it when Jesus is walking toward him, you've now got Paul years later referring to it. And then even Peter, 1 Peter 1:19 says this, it was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. And he's talking about what was paid for us. All of the writers in there are referring and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is our Passover Lamb. We get into the New Testament in Luke chapter 22. Verse 1 and 2, and I just, again, says this. The festival of unleavened bread, which is also called Passover, was approaching. Right? So these are all intertwined, kind of, again. So you got Passover that starts, and it's kind of the inaugural meal that kind of launches this thing. And then you've got this Feast of Unleavened Bread, the last, right? And the first day and the seventh day are also kind of like a Sabbath, right? A day of holy regard, where no ordinary work is done. They're right together. It says, the festival of unleavened bread, which is also called Passover, was approaching. And in fact, today, the Jewish people who celebrate Passover, they refer to it as Passover. They don't even refer to it as much as the Feast of Unleavened Bread. They just kind of lump the whole thing together most of the time when they're speaking with you about it. Verse 2, the leading priests and teachers of religious law were plotting how to kill Jesus, but they were afraid of the people's reaction. So here it is. It's approaching. We're in the month of Nisan. Nisan 15, which is the Feast of Unleavened Bread, is approaching, but it'll be kicked off by that Passover dinner and the sacrifice of that lamb on Nisan 14. Verse 22, or chapter 22, verse 7. Now, the festival of unleavened bread arrived when the Passover lamb is sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John ahead, and he said this, go and prepare the Passover meal so we can eat it together. Where do you want us to prepare it? They asked him. He replied, as soon as you enter Jerusalem, a man carrying a pitcher of water will meet you. Follow him. At the house he enters, say to the owner, the teacher asks, where is the guest room where I can eat the Passover meal with my disciples? He will take you upstairs to a large room that is already set up. That is where you should prepare our meal. They went off to the city and found everything just as Jesus had said. And they prepared the Passover meal there. When the time came, Jesus and the apostles sat down together at the table. And Jesus said, I have been very eager to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins. For I tell you now that I won't eat this meal again until its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Nisan 14, the Passover lamb is sacrificed. And there are those that have debated or argued as to whether Jesus' what you and I call the Last Supper was an actual Passover meal or not. I think that's pretty clear from Scripture. Jesus himself calls it Passover meal 3 times. The Scripture here itself 4 times mentions it as a Passover meal. And he knew what it meant. I've been eager to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins. He realized he was the sacrificial lamb. He would be the Passover lamb. He said, I tell you now that I won't eat this meal again until its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Jesus is indeed the perfect Lamb of God. He is not just a Passover lamb. He is the final Passover lamb. He fulfilled the meaning. He paid the price. He shed his blood, not to deliver us from the slavery of Egypt or any country or like Rome that they thought at the time. He shed his blood to deliver not only the people of that day, but to this day, to free us from the slavery and the dominion of sin. Here's the beautiful thing. When you and I, like the Israelites, when they applied the blood to the door frames of their home, and then death passed over them, when you and I apply the blood of Christ to the doorposts of our lives, he becomes our Passover lamb. And now death, not the human death of the grave, but eternal death and separation, that's gone. That passes over us. God's judgment passes over us. God's wrath passes over us. And that's a beautiful thing. It's not just a story for the Old Testament. Could say that God's Passover taking place in Egypt was a dress rehearsal for the Passover that Jesus was going to experience and become the sacrifice, fulfilling God's plan to rescue his people. So I hope if you've never paused taking time to think about celebrating Passover, I really would encourage you this year, and that's why I wanted to tell you ahead of time, this coming Saturday evening, you can do that. You could take the time and pause and celebrate Passover in your own home with your family and loved ones. And you say, well, I don't know how to do that. You got the internet, don't you? Guarantee you, all you got to do is Google it, right? How to do Passover. You'll find there's like 2,000 different opportunities. And you could literally put on there how to celebrate Passover as a Christian. If you wanted it, that gives even more specifics. You guys know that we've had here in past years before, we've had Christ in the Passover presentations from Jews for Jesus and other people. The Passover meal and the traditions that are part of that have just, they're so rich with symbolism that points to Jesus over and over again. It's something you can do in your homes, and I would encourage you to consider that. So during this, as we're getting ready to approach what on the Christian calendar is, is known as Holy Week or Passion Week, right? We'll kick off next week with what we call Palm Sunday, Nisan 10. But celebrate Passover.